But for our meditation, I want you to turn to Psalm 138. Just 8 verses in the psalm. There are no accidents with God. Our plans go awry at times, and we find ourselves with commitments we never expected. But the Lord makes no mistakes. And consequently, as we look at this psalm, I expect the Lord to speak to souls in this congregation. I'm going to read through the psalm and invite you to join with me. So I'll be reading the psalm, and as you listen to the reading, you can contemplate what each verse says. Psalm 138, put a marker in the place, please. And we will look to the Lord all the time. And I want you just to pray yourself. Lord, speak to my soul today. Here's David. David's speaking, as you see by the title. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy name, thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And that's a wonderful thing for us to contemplate, isn't it? Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Shows the importance of Scripture. All that is known of God is brought to our attention here. And important as the attributes of God are, and the goodness of God to us in our lives, we can recognize in so many ways God's providential care. And yet for all that, God has magnified his word above all else that we may experience. Hence, God's word is supreme. And for the Christian, God's word carries supreme authority. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they shall hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Let's keep our Bibles open. We'll ask for help from God. Lord, direct our thoughts. I pray today for preparation of heart and mind. I pray for the infilling of thy Holy Spirit, that it will not be so much the minister who speaks in this congregation, but it will be acknowledged the Lord has spoken. To this end, draw nigh to us. Thou art still maintaining the promise concerning the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit of God, the one called alongside of us. Lord, we call upon thee today to come alongside the preacher. Direct his thoughts. Put these thoughts together, Lord. Also, come alongside each soul in the pew. Think of thy dear child who's here among us. Come alongside of him or of her, as the case may be. And every soul here who can say, I belong to the Lord, will have the sense of the Lord drawing ever so near and sitting down among us. Presence thyself here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I read over the psalm again for you. I say again because this has to be a psalm you personally have read many times. I've read it over again just to refresh your mind about it. And to be frank, I have to read it through myself before preparing to speak about it so that some salient points in the psalm may be fixed in my heart also. I recognize that when one comes to preach, if there's preparation, then also we expect all that is said to tie in together. And I'm not sure today whether I'll have that amount of cohesion. But to tell you the truth, it doesn't especially concern me just now. And I know that even if it's one of the verses in this psalm, or a word for that matter in this psalm, the Lord can direct that to your heart and use that word even for His glory and for your help in the days to come. We begin the psalm by taking on the thought of worship and our participation in it. No one can fail to notice in verse 1 how the psalmist speaks with commitment. It is possible for us, in being used, coming up to the house of God, to take things for granted. Or perhaps to put that another way, to allow ourselves to become more remiss. Others may sing, and maybe it's unaccountable, but we're not singing. This happens. Somebody else is giving attention, supreme attention, but somehow, you might say on a given day, I'm not paying attention. Isn't that human? If that's the case, then there isn't participation. You come to the service in that sense. You listen to the word being read, even the sermon as it's preached, but there isn't the heart fullness, there isn't the heart commitment, there isn't the stirring within. And it's so necessary for us to learn the salient points that I've mentioned about the psalm, and this is one of them. Men and women, this is the first one in the psalm. Personal participation. And not only personal participation, but wholehearted participation. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Now, you will know, long before today, the Lord requires wholehearted response from His people. He doesn't always get it because of those changes that come about that I have tried to speak of just now. We ourselves change, our feelings change. One day we're bright, the next day something has occurred and the brightness is no longer there. The cloud comes down. And some have those experiences more than others. And I hope that they're not too frequent with you. Nevertheless, our love blows hot and cold. Isn't that right? And if we come upon the cold patch, then the wholeheartedness is missing. I did say in prayer concerning David that he prayed for the joy of God to be restored to him. I did say of the church at Ephesus mentioned in the book of Revelation how the Lord laments that they had departed from the first love. And men and women, these things show with great emphasis how the child of God can change, lose the ardor, lose the fire, and therefore lose out in participation. I will praise thee with my whole heart. God requires your wholehearted response. And I wish to say to God's people here today, let not this be lost. It's not just an exhortation given to you because the time for one to preach has come. But there has to be more to it than that. God's word to my soul. What the Lord is saying to me personally today. And if I can't render that wholehearted commitment, then let me pray about it. Let me ask the Lord to give me it. Because if I come on that day when I think my heart is cold, when I think the flame is burning dimly, then I've got to say, Lord, you require the whole heart. And not only does God require it, the Lord deserves it. Every soul here who knows the Lord will say amen to that. The Lord deserves our wholehearted devotion, our wholehearted praise. The singing here in this congregation is good. It blesses my soul, time without number. And nevertheless, we would never want a change to occur where the singing is less than good. Or in the reading, where the response is less than what is expected. Or in the time of prayer, that interest should fall off. There's many a church today where a prayer meeting is hardly in existence. There's many a church today where, I've got to say, the Lord's people who attend fail to give the attention to prayer that they ought to give to it. And that wholeheartedness is missing. Is this not the Laodicean age? Is this not the age of lukewarmness? If that's the case, then we do not have wholeheartedness everywhere across the board. If we have wholeheartedness somewhere in this congregation today, or even through the greater part of it, that's something to rejoice in. Even to skip for joy. But because we change, I have got to approach this psalm and say, Lord, give to me that wholehearted response. Let me follow the Lord fully. Do you remember Caleb? You've read about him. He followed the Lord fully. It was said in contrast of King Solomon that he did not follow the Lord fully, as did David his father. What a sad thing. That wholeheartedness was missing. And in Solomon, I can't help but believe that he fell into shameful sin because he did not give his whole heart and soul to the Lord. You can't follow the Lord formally. You can't follow the Lord with indifference. You can't follow the Lord as one who is halfway into the house of God and halfway out of it. No, no, it has to be with the whole heart. I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods. And here, because the word gods is in the small letter, the small initial, we're to think of people in high places. People who might act as if they are God. And we know of their existence. They speak with such authority that they will hardly listen to the person who comes to make an appeal to them. They just play God from A to Z. And if it's an interview, they play God the whole time. And you get a feeling that you're a person of no importance. And nothing that you say will make any difference. But with David, he's saying, when I meet people like that, and as the king, or the coming king, he had the opportunity. But he says, before the gods, before people in authority, I'm not going to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. And likewise, the Christian might say, I'm not going to be ashamed of the testimony of my Savior. He says, I'll sing praise unto thee. And the words here will signify that wholeheartedness that I have spoken about, that intense commitment. I will sing praise. You know, it just comes to mind as I speak. W.P. Nicholson, when the Lord touched him and blessed him, filled him with the Holy Spirit, he went down to his local church. It was a Presbyterian church in Bangor. And maybe it was a congregation where everything had become so formal that the people in the floor of the congregation left the singing to the choir and then prepared themselves for the address that the minister would bring. But W.P. Nicholson had just been blessed of God. God had filled him with the Holy Spirit, and he joined heartily in the singing of the hymns and the praises. And this wasn't the done thing in that church at that time. And a lady in front of him, whether it was the pew in front or two pews in front, very superior person who just had all the look of dignity about her. She had that station in life, her very appearance, her deportment, just suggested she was a person of some importance. And she probably had glasses on, just as I have done. Looking over the glasses is a very effective thing. And she just turned around and looked at him and fixed him with a stare. And he noticed that, but sang away with the fullness of his heart. And then he said to himself, if she turns round again, I know what I'll do. And she did turn round again and fix him with that to intimidate him. And he just stuck out his tongue and sang on. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that in this congregation. But I'm saying it shouldn't be thought of as a strange thing if we praise the Lord. And if, whether it's the singing or the reading of the word, whatever we're doing in participating in that service, let us say to the Lord, I'll give my whole heart to the worship of the Lord, because it's not only that God requires it, and he does, but he's worthy of it. And it's got to be said on that score, the Christian who gives way to his own feelings and holds back on giving wholehearted attention to the things of God, we're not glorifying the Lord that way. So we start off in this psalm with personal participation. And that has got to come down to the level of every soul here in this congregation. Are you participating? Have you come with preparation of heart? Is it your thought? Every Lord's Day without fail. Now, when we have the reading and the congregation take part, let me take part with all my heart and all my soul. Whatever I do for the Lord, let me do it 100%. If it's witnessing for Christ, if it's the door-to-door work on the outreach, and that's a program that always needs looking at. And we have a number of programs in the church here that many a soul could attend to, whether it's the driving of the bus or watching the car park. Everybody can do something for God. And you can say, let me do it. Let me do it with commitment. Fair enough, if you're patrolling the car park there on a very cold wintry morning or a cold wintry night, you may think there's no expression for wholeheartedness. But still, as you walk there, you have to walk to keep yourself warm. You can say to the Lord, be in tune with God. And say, Lord, I let me do this for thee. Every step, let me walk with God. The whole heart. Verse 2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Verse 2 obviously relates to worship. And still, I call to mind verse 1, because verse 1 surely strikes the keynote of the psalm. That wholeheartedness, the personal participation. I will do it. I will do it, he says. I will worship. That's verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple. Doesn't he have the word of God in this? Doesn't he have the word of God in mind? And when you're worshiping, when you're praying, keep the word of God in mind. That's the best way to pray. To pray with scriptures before you. And actually, if you've just finished the reading, whether it's one verse or one chapter, try and incorporate some of the things you've been reading in the verse or reading in the chapter. Incorporate those things into your praying. And so here you could say, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness. You could say, Lord, help me to worship thee today, to worship with all my heart, to worship with thy word in my mind. To worship with thanksgiving for the loving kindness you've shown me, for thy truth. Keep a marker in the psalm there and turn over to 1 Kings chapter 8. And I was just wondering, will I have the right verse to find in this long chapter, 1 Kings 8, because it goes on and on, 66 verses, and can I get the verse I need? But happily, in a previous day, I see I have marked the verse I want, which is verse 29. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 29. I'm raising the question, why is it that the psalmist in this psalm is saying, I will worship toward thy holy temple? Is that just a kind of coincidence? Does he have a reason for saying, I'll worship toward thy holy temple? If he has to worship toward the temple, then he's not in it. It is likely that he's far off from it, because if he was half a mile away from the temple of God, he would ascend the hill of Zion and go to the house of God and worship. But if he's afar off, there's no possibility of him getting to the house of God. But he says, when I come to worship, I'll worship toward thy holy temple. That's a replacement for what he can do. A half a loaf, as we sometimes say, is better than no bread. So let there be a symbolic representation on his part. He'll pray toward the temple, and that means he's thinking of God's house as he worships. Your worship is connected to this congregation. It's not right, surely, for the child of God to say, well, I can pray at home, so I'll elect to do that. I'll worship at home. I can read my Bible at home. All this is true. This is true. But the Lord requires public participation also. And although David is away from the house of God, and maybe at a time, maybe this belongs to a time when he's been driven away from the house of God, he says, I will worship toward my holy temple. Still has the house of God in mind. And why, I say, why is that so? Well, 1 Kings 8 and 29 says, in the prayer of Solomon, what Solomon prayed for the house of God when it was erected. Please see this. It'll be so important. And if you've thought, well, I'll let the minister read the verse and I'll just listen. What did we say earlier about wholehearted participation? Don't you see, it does matter. And I would be immensely encouraged if you would just turn up the place yourself. 1 Kings 8 and 29. Can we go out of our way even for the Lord? Should we do that? Yes, we should. And if it's like going out of your way, although really that shouldn't be the case, then let us even do that. 1 Kings 8, 29. That thine eyes may be open. This is Solomon's prayer. That thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place. Never mind the house. If the day comes when the house is no longer there, the place is still there, men and women. The place is still there to this very day. That thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place. The place is even more important than the house. The place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there. That thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. Verse 30. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Oh, what a message is here. This is the reason why the psalmist is saying, I'll worship toward thy holy temple. I can't get today to the house of God, he's saying in effect, but I'm going to turn my face toward it. I'm going to pray toward it because I remember, Lord, away back in those earlier years, that commitment, that covenant, that prayer, that your eyes would be focused on this place and your ears attentive to the prayers of God's people when they pray toward this place. And when you hear, you'll answer and you'll forgive. You see, the psalmist, when he prays, keeps God's word in mind. When he worships, he keeps God's word in his mind. And I say to you today, keep the Word of God uppermost in your mind. In worship and prayer and thanksgiving, keep the Word of God before you, because God has magnified His Word above all His name. That's in the Psalm. Psalm 138, verse 2. Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. God has been pleased to make His Word supremely important, and therefore for the Christian, God's Word should be supremely important. You've heard me say many a time, if it's convenient, put a copy of the Word of God in the hall, in a place where if a visitor comes to the door, even if it's only a caller, not a visitor, that the looking through will see the Word of God there. God's in this home. That's important. And when I'm saying that, I think if you consider it, given the respect we ought to have for God's Word. And we put that book down there on the table in that prominent position. We shouldn't put anything else on top of it. For if a number of objects have to be there, it's best that God's Word is on the top of everything, because God has magnified His Word above all His name. And let us show that even in small things. It's not a big sin if something else goes on top of the Bible. I'm not suggesting it is. But I'm saying, just let that come through, that influence, that belief you have. God's Word is supremely important. And there's nothing that can go on top of God's Word to hide it from view. Put the Word of God on the top, because that's the place it deservedly is to have. And I must go on. In the day when I cried. You see, he recalls past prayer. What sort of worship does he render? What sort of prayer? What sort of praise? Wholehearted. A wholehearted response. Wholehearted participation. And then he'll worship towards God's holy temple. He'll praise the Lord's name for His loving kindness and for the truth of God. And then he, as he prays, he recalls a past answer. I think that's what you should do as well. When you're praying, you might have had a bad day, your heart wounded, or your soul in difficulty, or a burden presses down upon you, or it may be fear. Who knows? All sorts of things can occur in the life of a Christian. And that's the day you need comfort. And we read that little bit from Nahum and spoke about the meaning of his name. And there is comfort with God, and God's interested in the comfort of his people. And there's a day when you did call on the Lord and the Lord heard. You might say in hardness of heart. Well, some soul could say in hardness of heart. When was that? Oh, when did I call on the Lord and the Lord answered me? Do I have to answer that question? I say without hesitation, in the day you came to the Lord as a poor down and out sinner on the road to hell, you came to the cross, you got down on your knees maybe, or possibly it was in a bed. You could call on the Lord when you're sick, and you could be saved on a sick bed without having the ability to get up and get on your knees. But however it was, you can remember it now. That day, you came to the Lord as best you knew how. You came as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. You called upon His name. And didn't He answer? Didn't He answer that day? Because here you are now in this place, a child of the King, glory to God. That's it. And in the day when you called, the Lord answered. And you could say, He strengthened me with strength in my soul. What has the Lord done for me? Ah, yes, He has blessed me with a soul, great salvation. And the devil and hell will never be able to take that away from me. That's what you can say. In the day when I cried, Thou answerest me. And there may have been other numerous, and maybe I was going to say spectacular. That could be the case as well. There have been spectacular answers to prayer that some of God's people have witnessed. I say that as a fact. And you've got to recall that when you worship and when you pray. Let's not forget the answers to prayer we have seen. Let's not forget what God has done for the soul. This soul of mine, in the day when I called, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. I think you'll see here that not only does the psalmist recollect a wonderful answer to prayer, the very day he cried to God, God answered the prayer that day. That doesn't happen with all answers to prayer. Sometimes there's a delay. Sometimes the delay of a lifetime. I've known of cases where a man or a woman has prayed and then in the length of time gone on to glory, never seen that member of the family converted, that member for whom they cried to God. Never saw it in their lifetime. When they went home to glory, God answered that prayer. So not all prayers are answered on a given day. But sometimes God answers prayer that very day. And that's marvelous. If somebody got lost somewhere in a strange place and said, Lord, help me here. Then in that instance, some way, God just directed that person. And in a strange city, among people absolutely unknown, when they had no idea where they were or what way to go, might have said, Lord, help me today and straighten out the path for me. And it was found, after all, God heard that cry in the day when I called. Whatever it is, it might just be you've forgotten the glasses. I don't know where I put them. Well, Lord, can you help me get them? Maybe God answered that prayer too in the day when you called. Do you see that in the Bible? Turn over to Lamentations. And I know my time now is just coming to a close, but we can get this in. Lamentations chapter 3. What I'm showing you here is there are other scriptures also which will show the child of God. Look, here's an example of prayer answered on the spot. Prayer answered that very day. I'm saying there are times when the Lord chooses not to give the answer on the day you cry. And we have to commit all things to the Lord, including the answer to prayer. But there are these occasions when right away, somehow, God steps in. Lamentations 3, verse 57. Jeremiah is saying, mark it in your Bible. That's why you have a pen. That's why you have a Bible. Mark it in. Here is Jeremiah's testimony. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. That very day, never could forget it. I remember that day, Jeremiah said, when I called on the Lord, and the Lord drew near to me. And not only did he draw near to me, that day I called upon his name, but he spoke. He spoke to my soul. Thou saidst, fear not. So Jeremiah had a terror upon him, a fear, a dread, an anxiety. He was in distress, and he called on the Lord that day, and he says, Lord, I remember it. And you drew near to me that day when I was in distress of soul, and you said, you spoke to me, you spoke to my soul. You said, Lord, fear not. And whatever it is that has brought fear, distress, anxiety to you, the Lord can lift that load. He can lift the burden. And God can speak and say to the Christian, I know myself, I've been there. The Lord can just say, fear not. It's as if he's saying, now leave the whole thing with me. It's in my hands now. Fear not. Isaiah chapter 65, and I'm looking for verse 24, and again, this is another witness in Scripture to the truth that God may hear prayer at a given moment. And it says here, before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear. Now, what have I done there? I've quoted the verse, but I've left out a bit of it. Did you notice what it is? Did you see what I left out? Before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. How about that for prayer answered on the spot? While they're yet speaking, while you're still at prayer, while you're still going over that petition, while you're still saying, Lord, look down from heaven upon my soul today, while they're yet speaking, I will hear. I've left out a bit of it. Did you notice what it is? Well, I'll tell you what I left out. I left out the beginning of the verse. Do you now see what that beginning is? It says here, and it shall come to pass. That's the bit I left out. And that's like the icing on the cake, is it not? It shall come to pass. Now, the word here particularly concerns Israel in that day when the Lord shall appear, and Israel will look to the Lord, the elect remnant among them will look to the Lord. And the Lord is saying, it shall come to pass, all right, it'll take place, that before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear. That's wonderful. But this is a promise God can apply to you as well. And he says here, it shall come to pass, and so it will. May the Lord bless his word today, for his name's sake. In the day when I called, the psalmist says, thou answerest me. This is a day of prayer. If you have to go away at the appropriate time, will you get back for prayer? You say, I've never been to a day of prayer. Well, you'll not be compelled to take part publicly in prayer. No one will call your name. But can we see a rise in importance, the importance of the prayer meeting in this congregation? Can we see more participation in prayer? Maybe you've never come on a Monday night. I think it's Mr. Martin's intention that the video of Whitfield College should be shown tomorrow night at the prayer meeting. But maybe you don't normally get here on a Monday. Why not give it priority? With my whole heart, Lord. Did you make a vow this morning? Or if that's too strong a word, did you make a commitment? Did you say, Lord, you'll have my whole heart? Well, can we not make a start in this way? What about a Monday night? Every Christian should be at least at one of the prayer meetings. Is there going to be a change now? This is a day of prayer. Can you participate? Some of you can't. The Lord knows all about that. Praise the Lord. But for those who can, who can just go the second mile, yes, you can do it. Let's go the whole way. Men and women, let's go the whole way with God. Let us pray today as intently as we can. Lord, give me, give to the whole congregation for that matter, the spirit of Caleb to follow the Lord fully. You'll never regret it. You'll do the right thing. Praise the Lord for that.